We sit here and we're going to read this chapter here, and we're in 47 of Genesis. And I was thinking here, and we're going to get to the place where these people say, we don't have nothing left but our bodies and our land.
Before you get started, let me get that pen.
You want a pen? Which pen would you like? That pen?
Thank you.
Okay. And I was thinking, these Egyptians get to the very place where they say there's nothing left but our bodies and our land. And the thought crossed my mind, what would a man give for his very soul? These guys were willing to give everything they had just to stay alive. And what would a man give for his very soul? And people seem to think all this world stuff, they need to hang on to it and keep on to it, but here you see when a man is about to starve to death, when there's no food left in the land and everything else, pretty soon stuff don't mean that much to you. When you're about to starve, stuff's not that much. Yeah. One bowl of pottage. That stuff, that's right. Okay. Well, we're in 47. We're going to brush over it a little bit again, starting at the beginning, because I did get into it a little bit the other night. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And we understand that before they went and came, Joseph had told and talked to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had said, you go get them and bring them. And he even furnished him wagons and stuff to go bring them with. So Joseph didn't just do this on a whim or whatever. Pharaoh actually said, as great as you've been for me and all this, you go get them. You take whatever resources are necessary. You bring them into the good of the land. If they're your family, as well as you've treated me and my bunch and all this country, you go get them. And he took some of his brethren, or even five men, presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers. Now we know that Joseph had told them before he went in there, you all tell them you're shepherds. First of all, so we can keep you all together, so we can keep us all in a group. So Pharaoh's, well, if you're a carpenter or a smith or this, that, and the other, they could have got divided out over the country doing work here and there and stuff like that. So he says, if you all say you're shepherds, then we can keep you in the land of Goshen. And he didn't just actually say it that way, but the idea was, if you're all an abomination to the Egyptians, they're going to want to keep y'all piled up in one place. They don't mind you being here. You're in the world, but you're still separated from the world. So he says, you tell them you're shepherds. Well, we're sheep. Us as is. Them other guys is goats, but we're sheep. So we have a shepherd who's placed us somewhere. And Pharaoh said to his brother, what is your occupation? They said to him, Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and our father. In other words, every single one of us is a shepherd. There's none of us does anything but shepherd. That's all we know, raising sheep and cows and whatever we may have there, camels, whatever. He said, all we know is how to be shepherds. They said, moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come. In other words, we're not coming here to put up housekeeping. We're only sojourning in the land right now. This land is not our home. I know y'all have heard that stuff before, right? We're only sojourning here. I got a home. Now, it's going to be back on earth one day, but right now I'm looking for a heavenly home. I'm looking for where Jesus is at. He said, we just come into the land to sojourn. We didn't come in here to build big houses and set down roots and plan on staying here forever, because they had planned on, we're going back to Canaan one day. Our mindset is, we're here till the famine's over. Well, they stayed a little bit longer than the famine, about 200 years longer. But the thing is, their mindset was, we're going back to Canaan. But God's mindset was, before you go back, you're going to be a mighty nation. Right now there's only 70 of them or so. But when you go back, there's going to be 600,000 of them. That's a lot of folks. And think about this. We're going to probably not go into Exodus much, but they were in the desert. And they figured it up. It takes a train load of food to feed that many people every day. God fed that many people with a train load of groceries every single day while they were in that desert. That's a lot of food. He didn't have to go out and beg somebody or borrow from somebody. He said, well, I wonder what I'm going to do. Oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do for those guys today. Every morning that manna was on the ground. Sometimes there was even quails. Just fly up in herds. Just scoop them up. And God wasn't worried one time about how he's going to do it. A whole train load of food every single day. I know that got a sidetrack there, but I chase that rabbit all day long. It says, to sojourn in the land or become, and thy servants have no pasture for their flocks. In other words, in Canaan the grass is dead. It's burned up. There ain't no hay, there ain't no grass, there ain't no stubble. So if we can't come in, we have no way of keeping our flocks and our sheep. There's no grass, no pasture for their flocks. For the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee. In other words, he says, Pharaoh, we're asking for mercy here. We're not trying to barge in on you. We're just saying, look, let us have a little place over here where we keep our flocks, take care of our stuff, have pity on us, or have, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And we don't want to spread out all over the land. Just let us stay in this one little old place. Nowadays we'd call that what? Segregation or whatever? They were segregated into one place. God was okay with it too. Because they were his folks. He separated his folks from the other folks. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brother are come into the land unto thee. And the land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land, make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. In other words, he says, well, I've done listened to you. Your father is a shepherd. He's been being a shepherd for 130 years. He ought to know how to be a shepherd. Now your brothers are all shepherds. There's 11 of them. And they've been shepherding from the master shepherd for as long as they've been alive. Now if you know of any of these guys that know anything good, you put them over my cattle. Well, these are master shepherds. They know everything about a sheep or a cow or whatever you got going on. They look at one and say, that's sick over there. This needs something done over here. They could just look and tell. So he said, you put them over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father. And he set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Jacob thanked Pharaoh for where he was at. He blessed Pharaoh. He wished Pharaoh good for where he was at. Jacob wasn't sitting there saying, oh man, I'm over here in Egypt and now I'm away from home. And he had already got God's idea. He already got God's blessing back in the last chapter. He says, you go and I'll be with you. And if God's with you, you're able to bless folks. But like you said, we need to quit having that pouty face, that cloud over our head. If God is with us, we're going to be starting able to bless folks and bless God and praise God for what he's doing. He said he blessed Pharaoh. He wished Pharaoh good. If you're under if you're under a king or a president, whether you like him or not, you ought to bless him so you can get the good of the land while you're there. We're in a land right now where we need to be praying for our presidents and our senators and our congressmen and all those folks. But he blessed Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? Now, I'm sure he was a little bent over, kind of like old people are, and he's leaning on his staff. And we know that he may still be hobbling on one leg. We're not sure because the sino in his leg was messed up. So he may still be doing like this when he walked. And he said, just how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage or 130 years. He said, I've been around a while, Pharaoh. I don't know how old you are, but I'm 130 years old. And he says, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and I have not attained unto the days and the years and the life of my father in the days of their pilgrimage. You notice he said their pilgrimage. Isaac wasn't hanging around for this place either, and neither was Abraham. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder was maker was God. He wasn't looking for a place down here like Reno or someplace out in the desert somewhere. He's looking for something where God made it. And he had Isaac looking for something that God made. And Jacob's been looking for something that God made. He said, my years down here have been few and evil. It's been a rough life. I've been dealing with Laban and his bunch for 20-something years. And then he had to have the people at Shechem get mad at him. And then he had his own children sort of mess him around a few times. He said, it ain't been no picnic, Pharaoh. But I still believe in God. I still trust in God. Been few. And then it says, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father. Excuse me. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them possessions in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. He didn't just put them off in some far-off, dried-up place. They were in one of the lushest, best places in the valley of Ramses. From what I understand about Egypt, that valley was... It may not have been right now during the famine. It may not have been the greenest place it was, but it was a lot greener than the rest of Egypt. It was a lot better than a lot of places that was going on in Egypt. And he says he put them there, and he fed them there, and he gave them substance there, and he nursed them there, just like his dream said he would do way back at the beginning. So then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land. Now, when we get through reading this chapter, it's going to look like they were just like the Egyptians before it's over with. They probably paid rent or a lease or whatever for what they had, because this land in Egypt was not theirs. They got to stay there, they got to lease it, they got to farm it, whatever it was on, but the land all belongs to Pharaoh. Or it all will before this chapter is over with. There's nothing there that says, and Joseph owned this in Egypt. We don't own nothing down here. We don't have anything. This is all a gift. This is all a blessing from God. And he said, and Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all of his father's household with bread according to their families. In other words, he treated them very well because they were relations to him. They were kin to him. They were his family members. He had a family love for them, and he made sure they were taken care of. He made sure they were nourished. And he did according to their families. And I don't know that that means that he treated one group better than the other, but I'm sure Benjamin was taken care of pretty good. And I'm sure Dad was taken care of pretty good. But we know that he would have been treating the rest of his brothers across the board, every one of you, your brothers, your equal, whatever. And he might even have done Benjamin that way, because it doesn't say here, but it says he treated them all and took care of them all. Everyone, he didn't have a hard feeling against any of them. He understood that God meant it for good. So he didn't try to hold back, well, I'm going to fix you and I'm going to teach you. But no, he treated everyone fair and square. We could stop there and it'd be a great story. There was no bread in all the land. Uh-oh. Finally, everybody's storehouses, their storehouses, the personal storehouses, what they had hid in the closets, what they had hid in the back room, they might have thought they were going to save for seed later or whatever. It says, now there was no bread in the land. for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. We're probably in about the fifth year now, pretty close to the fifth year of the famine. And so it says here, they fainted. Now you think, there's probably hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe even a million Egyptians over there. They're looking at all them big silos that Joseph's got built, and they're starving and they're hungry. My thought would be, I'm going to get my spear and my sword and I'm going to take me some groceries. God's sovereignty undoubtedly had Joseph smart enough to say, we're going to put soldiers and battalions and groups around these things so that if anybody gets a little bit crazy, and people when they get hungry get crazy, he said, anybody gets a little bit crazy, we're going to make sure that they just run up here, tear down the storehouse, and just take everything at one time and waste it and spoil it and everything else, because we still got at least two more years of famine. We can't just let it just get all swallowed up. So he says, when there was no bread in the land. And these people were sore, very sore. And the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. They just wasn't no strength in them. And their attitudes were, what are we going to do? We have no place to go. We don't know what's going to happen. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. In other words, it says in the Bible and Proverbs, it says you can sell what you got and you ain't got to feel bad. If they're hungry and they got money, you can sell it. You ain't got to just give it away or whatever. And so Joseph took every single dime of the money out of Canaan. There was no monetary value left in Canaan. Joseph took every bit of the money out of Egypt. No monetary value. Every one of us was just as broke as we could be, except for whatever our possessions are now. And he took it all and he put it into the Pharaoh's storehouse or into his treasury pot. He says, and he gathered up all the money. He would sell them corn till they ran out of money. So this year, they all bought all they needed to make it through the year. And they're still betting this thing will be over next year and we'll be all right. We can plant some seed. We'll be okay. He sold all their stuff for all the money that was in the land. And he brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And he don't mean his house, but into his treasury. And when the money failed, y'all have read in Revelation, there's going to be a day when there's going to be bread for a penny. And if you like barley, you might could have a little extra bread for a penny when the money fails. You may have some money saved. These people say, oh, we're going to go through this bad time and we're going to dig us tunnels and we're going to do all kind of things. When the money runs out, when you have nothing to barter with or bargain with, then those people are going to be at the spot where they got to make a choice. Same with us. If we all of a sudden have a drought or a whatever in our country, when the money fails, our money's in banks and in credit card stuff like that, our money could fail instantly. It could be absolutely, tomorrow morning we could wake up and our money would be worthless. And you might say, well, I got some silver and some gold stocked up. But that ain't going to last you very long. Because when you start chipping off pieces of it to barter with, it ain't going to last you long. I know people think, well, I've got to save that up. I can remember when all the water in Egypt turned into blood. And they said, well, I got some water in my pot over here. I think the water in the pots turned to blood too. I don't know how that water jumped over in there and turned. But if you say, one day I'll have me enough water stored in these barrels and I got me enough food over here and I got me enough money over here. Who do you think keeps the food okay? Who do you think makes the water okay? They seem to always forget about that one factor. But God. That's right. It says, and Joseph gathered up all the money and found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. He sold it to them. He sold it freely to them. Whatever you need, however you get the money for, there it is. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, now this is probably the next year, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? Now they understood Joseph is a meek guy, he's an honest guy, he's a nice guy, he's a bright guy, but the thing is, they said, he's not just going to let us die for nothing. He's not going to say, well, you ain't got no money, that's it for you, go away and die somewhere. No, he says, give us bread, that we should die, not shut die in your presence, for the money has failed, or faileth. And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give for your cattle if money fail. So if anybody shows up, now you say, well, why didn't they just eat their cows? Well, we're already in about the fifth year of this drought. There ain't much grass. And I don't know about chewing up shoe leather, but them cows was probably bony. If you remember the dream, they were seven fat cows. And they were seven skinny cows. And when the seven skinny cows ate the fat cows, you couldn't tell they ate them. So here you are with a whole bunch of cows, two or three, four or five, whatever you own, and they look like walking skeletons probably. And Joseph said, well, all right, bring your bucket over here and we'll fill it up. And I don't know where Joseph took the cows. It doesn't say what he did with them. But the thing is, I don't think they ate them too quick. He says, if the money fail, bring your cattle. So we're in the fifth year or sixth year now, and they bring their cattle, and they give it to Joseph, and Joseph gives them corn. So now they got enough corn to make it through the year. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for flocks, and for cattle of the herds, and of the asses. And he fed them with bread for all the cattle that year. So whatever cows they had, he didn't let nobody starve to death. And it doesn't say he had a certain amount for a certain amount, but the thing is, no family starved regardless of how many cows they brought or whatever. He says, you bring your cows, you bring your horses, you bring your whatever you got, and I'll make sure you got bread for the year. Now you got to think about that. They have gave up everything they got pretty much now. They've gave all their money. Now they've gave all the thing they took pleasure in, their livestock. Now they only have their houses, their land, and them. And it seems like they took greater pleasure in building monuments and stuff like that than houses. But it says now they only have them and their land. And I'm guessing their house goes with the land. And when the year was ended, now we're getting almost into the seventh year, or maybe into the seventh year. And when the year was ended, they came unto him the second year after that and said unto him, we will not hide it from my Lord. Now that our money is spent, my Lord, also hath our herds of cattle, there is not aught left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our land. We're not going to try to fake you out or hide anything. You plumb know what we are. We're broke. We can't make a loan. We can't barter with you. There ain't nothing left but us and our land. And you know this, Joseph. Wherefore shall we die before thy eyes? They're actually saying, give us some mercy here. We don't have nothing left to give you unless you'll take us. Unless you'll take us and our land, that's all we got. And he didn't look out there and take a difference, say, well, I'll take yours, but I won't take yours. He took every man's land freely. He took every man's land. He didn't choose between them. Buy us and our land for bread. In other words, they said, look, we'll be your servant. We'll be your slave. We'll work for you. We'll be in servitude to you. Just make sure we don't starve to death. We'll do whatever you need, legal and fairly, just don't let us starve. He said, buy us. Buy us and buy our land for bread, and we and our land, in other words, us and our land, will be servant unto Pharaoh. We'll do whatever Pharaoh needs. We'll work for Pharaoh. We'll use our land for Pharaoh. Whatever it takes, the land belongs to Pharaoh. We belong to Pharaoh. You just tell us what we got to do. Just don't let us starve to death. And give us seed. And he says, also give us seed. They're thinking, if everything Joseph has said, next spring, rain's coming. Give us seed. We don't just need bread, but you give us seed. We're going to give you our land. We're going to give you us. Make sure we have bread to eat, but also make sure we have some seed so when it gets time for spring to come, when that rain's supposed to, we know the drought's supposed to end in 7 years. We want to be planting so we can harvest because we believe what you said about 7 years. He said, give us seed. That we may live and not die, and the land be not desolate. The land has just about got to the place where there's nothing on it at all. And he says, we know that this here drought's about to end, and we know that we need to have seed and be ready to plant as soon as the rains come, as soon as the spring comes. We need to be getting ready. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. You notice he didn't buy none of this for himself. He didn't have none set to the side or anything. Everything he did was strictly for Pharaoh. Not one piece of land did he keep for himself. It's all Pharaoh's. For the Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. The land was Pharaoh's. Now you'd say, wouldn't the land be Pharaoh's already? Well, the president don't own my land, unless I don't pay my taxes, that is. You ever thought about that? It's mine until I don't pay my taxes. And yours is yours till you don't pay your taxes. And it don't matter how much them taxes is either. You don't pay them, you lose it. It says, and as for the people, he removed them to cities. First of all, he started moving these people around. You remember what the Hebrews are? They're sojourners. They're movers. He got to moving these people around and about, moving them into cities, so they'd be used to being sojourners and movers too. So whenever Egypt gets ready to move out of here, they'll have pity on the sojourners because they've been nothing but moved from place to place or city to city to do the things for Pharaoh. It says here, they moved the people, or removed the people from city to city, one end of the border of Egypt even unto the other. In other words, they might have been in this city a while or that city a while, but he took them off the farms. He took them off the home property. He took them away from Grandpa's old place. So now that whenever this thing's all over with, they don't say, you know, that's my old place. I'm going to go to Pharaoh and say, that's mine. I want it back. Y'all tricked me, you fooled me, or whatever. He made sure he moved them around, put them in cities and everything else. So when they got over it, got a little move them, well, my dad used to be a farmer. We used to own some land somewhere around here, but, you know, it's just a piece of land. There's none of that. That's my old place right there, and I'm going to get it back. I'm going to go back after it. And Joseph said to the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. Okay, it's mine. I bought it. I own the land. I've got you for servants. I'm going to give you seed, and your job is sow the land. It's not for you to just devour up and waste up. It's for you to sow the land. And it came to pass in the increase that ye shall give. Did I skip a part? No. I skipped the part about the priest. Let's go. Only the land of the priest bought he not. And I didn't mean to skip that. It just sort of slid by me. Only the land. You say, well, did he like those priests? No. He wasn't doing them a favor or anything like that. Well, we're going to just give your gods a break or whatever. He just knew to mess with those gods would probably start riots and everything else. So he says, I'm going to let Pharaoh owns their land anyways. I'm buying all this land to give to Pharaoh, so Pharaoh already got this. So there's no need in me trying to stir up a religious thing when they already belong to Pharaoh already. The land of the priest he bought not, for the priest had the portion assigned to them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion with Pharaoh, which Pharaoh gave them, before they were sold, not their land. In other words, they didn't come begging for food. They were eating at Pharaoh's table already. Pharaoh wasn't starving. Pharaoh didn't go to Joseph every week and say, you know, I could use a pot of corn here. No, his freezer was full already. His freezer never went dry. And all these priests ate with him every day. So they weren't out begging and looking for stuff. They was living off the hog. God just let them stay. That didn't mean he liked them. It didn't mean he was pleased with what they was doing, but he knew better than stir up a whole thing, because he still got to take care of his people over here with his stuff. And it shall come to pass in the increase, and people talk about taxes. Have you ever checked this out? Talk about taxes. And it came to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh. 20%. That's 20% right off the top. That ain't, well, of the increase. Let me put, let me get it right. 20% off the increase. So if I made increase, Pharaoh's got his hand out, all right, 20% is mine. So he gives 20% off the increase unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own. Now, you say, wow, that's a pretty good deal. Four parts shall be your own. For seed of the field, that's a fifth part. And for your food, for you, that's a fifth part. And for them in your household, that takes care of the other two-fifths. So by the time you're done, you got enough seed to plant your food crops. You got enough feed for you to eat and enough feed for your family members in the house. And Pharaoh gets his 20% off the increase. Because the rest was yours, and you don't get an increase on the rest. There ain't no increase on, so you just broke even with the rest of it. But you had enough to have the rest of it and live again. Get your little ones fed. And they said, look at this. They weren't mad about the tax. They weren't mad about having to give money. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. They were grateful. They just went through 7 years of hard famine. They sold every single thing they had, including themselves, to Pharaoh, and they were thankful that they were alive. I'd be mother grown man, you know, I lost my farm, I lost my truck, I lost my cows, and now what am I going to do? But they were thankful. Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. They still gave credit. They knew Joseph was the doer of it, but Pharaoh allowed it to happen. They want to find grace in Pharaoh, and they want to give Pharaoh thanks for what Pharaoh let Joseph do in keeping every one of them alive. Of course, God gave Pharaoh the dream that scared him to death to call Joseph to get all this going on, and they were thankful to be alive. Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in thy sight of my Lord, and we will serve, or we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land. There's another law getting wrote. Of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land be priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. In other words, out of every piece of land that didn't belong to the Pharaoh already, anything that came in, he got a fifth. And I guess it's like that, and changed their tax laws, I probably have by now, but up till this time in Egypt, if you did anything, one-fifth always went to Pharaoh. Servitude. Yeah, you're paying rent for... he owns the land, you pay in rent, and you get enough to eat off of. That's right. Absolutely. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Even during the drought, they're having young'uns and growing and doing things. They were growing and becoming a nation even during these last 3 or 4 years of the drought. And they even had possessions. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. He was 130 when he got there. He's done went to 147 years old now. And the time drew near, or nigh, that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight. And he doesn't mean, look, I found favor in your sight. Look, son, I'm begging you to take care of me. He says, so look, you're my son, and I love you, and I know you love me, and I need you to do something for me, if you can or if you will. He pretty well knew Joseph could do this thing. Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. You remember another guy did that? Way back yonder under Abraham's thigh, and went and got Isaac a wife. That's the way they did their pledges back then, or their swearing, under my thigh. And deal kindly and truly with me. In other words, I'm going to ask you a couple things, son, and I need you to do them. I need you to take care of these things. First of all, I pray thee, don't bury me in Egypt. My wife, my daddy, my granddaddy, and his wife are all back at Machpelah. When I die, make sure I go back to Machpelah. Don't leave me here in Egypt. That's my request. If it's all possible for you, son, swear to me you won't let me be buried in Egypt. He said, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. I will do as thou hast said. In other words, Joseph said, I don't think that's going to be a problem. You want to go back home to be buried? I'm going to do it. And if you remember when we do this thing, it was a great possession, a great pile of people. In fact, the people in Canaan and around that area looked and said, wow, this is a very serious, great mourning going on that they brought Jacob to. He says, I will bury thee in the burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me. And he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself on the bed's head. That's all I needed to know. And he's not dying yet. He's just sick. He's still got to talk to Manasseh and Ephraim. But right now he says, before I die, I'm getting close. I can tell it. I'm getting weaker. In fact, he's so weak now and so old now that he can't even see good. And I'm thinking, maybe it's not a great deal to get very, very, very old, because I still like to see a little bit. But these guys seem like Isaac couldn't see when he got old. Jacob's eyes are going bad. I know they're blessed guys and all that, but it's tough when you lose your eyes. It's tough when you lose your strength. He knows he's about to go. And he calls his son. He says, look, son, make sure I don't get buried here. And when Joseph dies, he told him, says, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Take me. So Moses carries his bones out of Egypt. You know, he had to carry them bones for 40 years. He didn't lay them down either. Everywhere they packed up, somebody was in charge of packing them bones. That'd be a job. So next week, We'll get into the time past, the things when one told Joseph, "Behold, your father is sick." Now we're going to come to the dying. So the next time we come, Joseph is going to pass on. Brother Lucian, you'd bless us, please.